As well as goodness, All material activities meant for satisfying the senses are contaminated, and not as an idea, do not require anything contaminated. The simple activity is transmitted to activities, do not perform judgment. Consequently, the eternal supreme will is suffering. Shiva Prabhupada ki jai. Arma Gyanti Namaste. Janayana Shvatya Chakshuri Mubitani Tasmai Chiri Vidyari Maha Shri Chaitanya Vipsha Chakuta Amena Mutale Swayam Rupa Padayana Vidati Swayam Chikam Vancha Kavachuru Yashta Vipaya Sindhu Vedachara Atika Namparamayana जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम So here, I don't know if the sages that are being discussed here are the same as Brahmanas who were kind of critiquing Maharaj Nandi's desire earlier. Because here the knowledge of glorification, but the word is all the sages, which ultimately they're going to want to be conscious and understand this. So that's just a note about what is going to come to that. It means that the activities of Maharaj Nandi were all pure. Sri Pranayama is pure. So if what is pure means exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna. That is pure. And simply pure. Non-Vedakam, Sargam, non-Vedakam. It is having only Krishna as the point of consideration, which is very difficult for those who are unmelting to nature. Because on the melting to nature, we have separate interests. This is an indication of being contaminated by the melting nature. Whether we give us passion or ignorance, in either case, there's some separate interests and there's some separate desire. Therefore, it's not pure. And in order of goodness, the separate desires for self-purification. And in the mode of passion, the second desire is for something material. You know, I desire something real, that's material. And in the mode of ignorance, the desires are very destructive. Like, for example, the desire to cause harm to someone or see something harmful happen to someone. You know how this ends up life now. This is the language we see in the 29th chapter of the Paragento, and the video is discussing about devotional service. Contaminated by the emotional nature. Of course, emotional service can never be contaminated, but those who are practicing emotional service on the emotional nature, they're contaminated. So that contamination refers to the practitioner, not exactly to emotional service. And so then there are practitioners who are in the mode of ignorance and they desire harm from others. And Prabhupada mentions that they're called as Vaishnavas because they accept Vishnu as the supreme yoga, right? They can hardly say the Vaishnava because self-destructive desires are not even to see the Vishnu. But this is the indication of contamination. Whether it be goodness, passion, or ignorance, all are contaminated, all are not pure, because there's some separate interest. And purity means exclusively the happiness of Krishna. The desire to show kindness to Krishna, and not this the desire to exploit him. Just like in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna refers to Krishna as Govinda. And love means one who can satisfy the senses. So, see, Vedic culture, they were very subtle. They use like the name and images and things. And probably we have to let go every hour, you know, full sentences with periods and commas and metaphors and everything. But in Vedic culture, they're very subtle. And culture means subtlety. That's what culture means, subtle. Actually, real culture. So you can see we're not very cultured people now. We're getting very, very close. I mean, because of that conviction. So anyway, real cultured people are subtle, so our mental subtlety indicating to Krishna. They go mental, it's supposed to be satisfied with the senses of mind, she's satisfying my senses. By trying to engage with this world, I am not all satisfied. And it's because that's not pure. Pure is not to consider one's own satisfaction, which is based on a misconception of life, but rather to satisfy the senses of the Lord, of Krishna. That is the actual, that is purity. To desire the happiness of Krishna and have no consideration. So it's really that simple, but in terms of application, it's really hard because we're trapped by the most nature. As we discussed it, the word is remote to nature's guna. So the word guna, aside from meaning mode or quality, also means rope. So it says one is bound by the hands and feet by strong ropes. So the gunas have a strongly bound up to the dispassionate ignorance and then therefore separate interest from the happiness of Krishna. So as a result, we won't get benedictions like having Krishna as a son. For those persons who are aspiring, so Krishna will reciprocate according to the desire that is his nature. So if our desires are in the most nature, he will reciprocate that also, that is his kindness or his nature. But we can't expect such benedictions as having Krishna as our son. If someone wants such a benediction of establishing a personal, intimate relationship with Krishna, which is the only way for self-satisfaction. Atma supersivity. Was that side by surviving the sun, old woman, the whole body of the day, Ahayuki, Akitiyata, the Atma supersivity. The only way for actually experiencing the happiness of the heart, by which one does not have to continue to associate with the modes of nature, which causes repeated break from death in different species of life, then one has to come to a platform of pure, only desiring the happiness of Krishna. That is the only way that can be done. The moment that we have that intimate relationship, we have Krishna as a son, it's a very intimate relationship. And there are other intimate relationships in various vessels. And one must attain that in order to actually experience happiness. It is absolutely imperative. That is what is meant by the higher taste. The higher taste means a relationship with Krishna and one's intrinsic vasa with the Lord. And with the vasa vaisa, that's from the Vayam Vodya and the Nipamiti. It's one of the Upanishad books that's quite often by the Upanishad. That Krishna is the vasa swarup. Just like when Krishna walked into the assembly of the Kamsa, he had a manager of place to kill Krishna. That was a picture of the and so then there were so many people who were looking upon Krishna in different ways. The wrestler saw Krishna as a thunderbolt, the cowherd man saw Krishna as the best of men, the lady saw Krishna as the good personified, like this. And so according to the intimacy of the wrestler with Krishna, then you saw there's an increase in happiness. This is mentioned by which we're not talking about the chapter in Guru Kandamini. The wrestler saw Krishna as a thunderbolt. That probably won't produce the best of feelings. Right? So when you see and you think thunderbolt, that's probably not like a very positive emotion. Right? Thunderbolt means you're dead, right? So it's probably not the best emotion. And then the cowherd saw Krishna as the best of men. That's a more positive emotion. And the power women, the women saw Krishna as completely personified. That's an even more intense emotion. So according to the degree of intimacy, then the degree of happiness is experienced. And so therefore, one has to attain Krishna who's the rust is sort of like pressing into the spiritual evolution. To be happy, but in order to attain that, one's karma and his activities have to be pure. Should be in a valid separate interest. Only desire and happiness is Krishna. Guru Goswami says the same thing, Kamakumina, Krishna Mishima, Bhakti Uttama. This is the way to attain happiness in the heart. So God is saying, Guru Goswami, otherwise, there's contamination by the most sensual nature. So, Anushiladam means Krishna activities. That's the first thing in the ocean. It's not that it's just a feeling. And Prabhupada criticized that. You know, generally, we unfortunately call it translated bhakti as devotion service. Service can become a very active element, maybe. People understood about this to be like the sentiment in the heart, the feeling of devotion. It's not a feeling of devotion at all, it's just a, it reminds delusion, but the feeling, you know, I mean, many times you might meet, generally, you meet Indians like this, but you don't meet so many Americans who worship God in a real way. And like the Indians like this said, I chant the name throughout the day. You know, my bhakti is here, you know, my bhakti is in my work, my family, taking care of my kids. That is my bhakti. So that is okay, that's okay, that's not pure bhakti though. That's, you know, probably the most likely one of passion, devotional service. Not even really devotional service, but we'll give you benefit of the doubt. You know, some type of something like service, maybe not devotional. And the mode of passion, you know, taking care of the family, taking care of the interest in society, and so on. Which is really ignorance, but they think like that. So first thing is Anushilanam, that there's activity in relationship to Krishna. Prabhupada teaches there, in discussing Anushilanam, that consciousness alone will not help, you know, the consciousness of devotion. But there has to actually be the activities of devotion as well, both are required. So this word Shilanam has two aspects to it, this is mentioned. One aspect called is a Chaitra Rupa, and another aspect called is a Bhagavad. Chaitra Rupa means the active element of devotional service. And the Bhagavad Rupa means the actions of the purified heart, Bhava. Sometimes also referred to as Bhagavad Bhakti. It means the activity of the purified heart. That generally doesn't take place until one attains very exalted state of devotional service. And even when one has not attained very exalted state of devotional service, the intrinsic indicator of devotion is actually the active element. Because even if we have deep bhava for Krishna, it then it is expressed through activity. Right? Just like a mother has deep love for a child. At least in the religion, things like that. The mother, you know, apparently has devotion for her child or love for her child, but that love has to be expressed, right? So the indicator of the love is actually the expression. Although the expression of the love is not exactly the love, right? It compels the loving activities. At the same time, it's the indicator. So even when there is deep bhava, you know, bhava for Krishna, it is expressed through various activities. So the Chaitra Rupa is the active element known from one's body, mind, and words is the indicator of devotion to Krishna. And in the stage of practice, it is most certainly the activities of the body, mind, and words in relationship to Krishna that is the hallmark of devotion to Krishna. So it has to be connected to Krishna, of course. It can't just be activities of body, mind, and words to humanity. What is that? Manava Seva is Manava Seva. That's sheer foolishness. We say Manava Seva is Manava Seva. And people who connect to that, they're going to benefit also. So the activity of body, mind, and words connect to Krishna through the mercy of the Guru Parampara. So therefore, we are learning the truth. Not only is the word Anushilanam in continuous activities, but the word Anun is to follow. So when one's, the active element of one's cultivation of devotional service with one's body, mind, and words is connected to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through the union of the weak and the rough. So Prabhupada says in the introduction with this verse described, that unless one takes initiation from the one Christ Spirit's master, then his actual connection with Krishna does not take place. But Prabhupada uses that language. Of course, we have Buddhism, we need to take initiation. And there's many things, but Divya Gyanam, we told Havya, this is the definition given oftentimes. It means the communication, transmitting knowledge of the disciple. But it also means receiving the various mantras and worship of Krishna, particularly the deity form of Krishna. Because in order to maintain the purity of the body, mind, and words, then deity worship is usually most essential for conditioned souls. And the worship of the deity in some way is very important for the conditioned souls. So in the worship of the deity, there are mantras that are used in the worship of the deity. The various mantras and vibrations are used to worship the deity. The main element of that, of course, is the holy name of Krishna. But their holy names are like conjugated by the name. And we say Vasudeva Vaya, like that Krishnaya, like that is a conjugated name of Krishna. I used to worship the deity. So that is given at the time of initiation also. And it's mentioned by Mahaprabhu that the mantra will help us to attain devotion from the contamination into the light of the second interest. Here's a verse that I was trying to remember. Krishna mantra haite habe samsara machani. Krishna nama haite habe Krishna machani. So yeah, Mahaprabhu was speaking to the sannyasis. Headed by the Kashyama Saraswati, who makes this point that the mantra given by the Guru at the time of initiation will help one to attain the liberated heart, samsara nishan, freedom from samsara. And samsara is described as the endless network of misconceptions. As we're getting out of one misconception, we're going to another one. We get out of one misconception, like, I am, God, and finally you get one misconception, here comes another one. Isn't it sometimes where you have experience like that, where you feel encouraged? You know, today, I've given up the fact that I'm in control. And then another one comes up, you know, I'm going to enjoy it. And then today, I've given up, I'm not in control. And something else comes up. This is samsara in this case. So when I'm experiencing from samsara, Mahaprabhu says the Chinese mantra, the Krishna mantra. And then my Chinese holy name and the liberated platform, a platform free from misconceptions, and he says, Krishna Vachanai, you need to move to Krishna. So anyway, the point I'm making is that our activities offered to Krishna, the body, mind, and words, offered to Krishna, they become fractionally connected through that relationship to spiritual ministry. It is called initiation. So this verse we all know, that you should approach the Guru with Dakshina, right? $100 bills, right? The white money, right? You know, sometimes in the old days of this temple, you need the Brahmacharis to look forward to going to the home program. And then you have to learn about the So that dakshina Guru does not require because he's very detached and stinking. He's not attached to it anymore. But there is a certain dakshina you are supposed to approach the Guru that's mentioned. As Pramipat Parikrishna said, this dakshina you should go to the Guru, this dakshina. Submission, relevant inquiring, and service. When you approach the Guru with his dakshina, then the Bhagavad Gita says upadekshanti, he gives initiation. The word upadekshanti means he gives initiation. Prabhupada doesn't translate it like that in his translation, but in his word to word, he does translate it like that. Because the word upadekshanti means he gives initiation. So this point of initiation is important for establishing the relationship with Krishna in a real way, as taught by Srila Prabhupada. And so then, when our activities are connected to Krishna in a real way, there's another feature that has to be there to make it pure. I mean, it should be favorable to Krishna. I mean, with an intentionally favorable disposition towards Krishna.
a matter accidentally favorable to Krishna. For an example is given, just like the demons, they also please Krishna by accident. Their intention is to kill Krishna, actually, that is the only concern. But because Krishna has this vira rasa, he likes to fight. That's why we get the fighting propensity, especially when we fight five from devotion studies. Strong fighting propensity, because Krishna likes to fight also. In fact, sometimes in the spiritual world, he's known to fight with him. So then some of the boys have become demons, just so he can get it out of him. Sometimes we have experience like that too, in the conditioned state. We just have to fight. For no reason, just, you know, pick a fight, you know, find some fault, pick a fight, it just needs. So sometimes Krishna, he also wants to fight, because he's got to get out of the people. So then the demons, they have only intention to kill Krishna. Because Krishna likes to fight, he's very satisfied with them. But their bhava is not pure, they're asura bhava, they're demonic bhava, they want to kill Krishna. But they please Krishna by fighting the voice of Yasoda. She blistered Krishna. In the legal way, she was making milk for Krishna. Krishna wanted the breast milk, and she put them down, thinking that she had very carefully used the plain milk. She selected all the best out of 100 cows, you know, chose the best 8 out of those 8 cows, chose the best one to mix them together. It's very carefully described. And so this milk is like very special milk, and it's boiling over, she wanted to be spoiled. So she put down Krishna to save the milk in order to serve Krishna. On the planet, she was totally favorable to Krishna, but she displeased Krishna. Does that mean Kamsa is a pure devotee and Mother Yasoda is a new fighter? No, Mother Yasoda is a new fighter. She was only having a desire to please Krishna. But she apparently happened to displease Krishna, apparently. But her intention was unavoidable, favorable, desiring to be kind to Krishna. Whereas Kamsa and others, they were demonic. So this, so in other words, Anushinam is not sufficient to describe devotional service, but the Anupurvena point has to be there. That it has to be with a desire to bring happiness to Krishna. Then it's called Shuddha. And in order to constrict the meaning of that, in the first half of the verse, the Rupa Goswami says, Anyadrashita Shuddha. Because you can be favorable to Krishna and also favorable to other things in material energy level. You know, you come in some, you give your donation, you participate in your time, you may even do a japa, you may even be initiated. But then outside of those activities, you have a whole other range of activities that is not for Krishna's pleasure. It's not intentionally against Krishna. But philosophically it is, because Krishna's enjoying your time to observe his position by trying to enjoy it. Anyway, so then in order to restrict the meaning, in order to distinguish pure devotion from some other mixture, so Guru Goswami said it is devoid of other desires. Also, that restricts the meaning of the word anupurvena. And also in terms of activities, there is cultivation of knowledge, there is cultivation of various activities in relation to Krishna. So Guru Goswami says that knowledge and those activities should not pierce the devotion to Krishna, desire to please him. In other words, there is cultivation of knowledge and there's activity in devotional service, but it should not eclipse the desire to please Krishna. So, of course, we hear that knowledge that leads to impersonalism and those activities which are filial, those things should not call devotion, but in the realm of devotion. So, we don't see so much of those that are designed for it. Personal liberation. Because we hear that's really, really bad. And still, yeah, our cultivation of man can help us. When it says cultivation of man, it means good knowledge composed of some non-aggregated religion. But when we desire to do that without the guidance of the spiritual master, then that becomes a covering of the desire to please Krishna. That's the apasada, how do we know Krishna's pleased? The spiritual master's pleased, Krishna's pleased. And the spiritual master is displeased, and one can never please Krishna. So then when we desire to cultivate knowledge, even devotional knowledge, without the assistance of the guiding hand of Guru, then that becomes a covering of the desire to please Krishna. And we gain momentum in satisfying ourselves. Oh, I know this, from me. And go so many shastras. And similarly, in our activities of devotional service, if it is not with the assistance of the guiding hand of Guru, then it becomes
like it was doing something.
Ritualistic activity. Ritualistic activity happening in the world's non-stop. Many times we criticize other religions, they just have dry rituals.
But has anyone tried to jump it to you?
Is it now like a dry ritual for you guys? I mean, we don't want it to be like that, but oftentimes it's just like, gotta get it done. We're very conscious of the numbers, isn't it? I'm very conscious. Even the number of the that we're on, sometimes you can see the words repeatedly doing this thing. But I'm saying in the movies, right? In other words, it can become a dry ritual. And that way it can become a covenant, or it's called me a mandala, which we can go from the source of the story of Bhakti. So in this way, we don't attain purity, we don't attain the connection to Krishna and that happy. So Manas Gandhi has been glorified here by the sales of all because of the purity of his activities. Jagna means Jagnabai Vishnu. Jagna means acting for pleasure of Krishna. Acting for pleasure of Krishna. That is Jagna, that is Vyogana. And without acting for pleasure of Krishna, then we're being controlled by the most mature nature. So, of course, it is not expected that we would have the pure Sudhana Kamana on the very outside. But we have to repeatedly meditate on these verses to disguise what purity is, so that we can understand it and pursue it. Otherwise, we become another dry religionist. And we think we're better than others. It's not like those who think better than others. We probably think that we have such a nice philosophy, we have such nice guidance, such nice facility devotion service. But if we never actually pursue the pure thing, then what is the use of it all? You know, having a good situation is not the goal of Krishna consciousness movement. You know, rather, the actual pursuit of Krishna and purity is the goal. So we have to know what it is and pursue it. And then we have a very rich truth that involves in the form of a divine mystification from the Supreme Lord. So Maharaj Nanda is glorified by just only one Prabhupada himself. He's glorified for his purity and his activities. He pleased Krishna. And what was the result of pleasing Krishna? He got Krishna's son. So such things can place a very everyone. It's not like oh, Mahi Gandhi, not the rest of us. It's very everyone. And we were causing the faith, and according to the degree of faith, it's that degree of the strength of the pursuit. That right? When there is a strong faith, then you pursue what you need, and when there's strong faith, you pursue what you strong. Like that. So these things can be too many, right? But this is not a difference. So I know this is everything.
First thing is just a simple clarification of what you were learning at the beginning. This word Vrindavanji in your verse. It's Prabhupada translates as the bold sages. Bold elsewhere in the database it just says they say or Vedic authorities say. So it's kind of just like a name of the state, right? I just thought maybe trying to get the topic and discuss a little bit. Maharaj Nandi obviously is going to be real closer to his position. And yet the Brahmanas, part of it was for the instructive purpose of the Bhagavata. We got to understand that we shouldn't do anything materially that's easily as big as one of the others or some. But they are expressing to the Lord things about Maharaj Nanda that it seems that they don't actually understand his position.
That is also not uncommon.
Yeah. So, but they are still pleasing the Lord. And he says, he's in the same commonly because of the
Brahmanas.
Yeah. So, maybe we could discuss a little bit about how they are still. Their disposition is still pleasing to Krishna. At the same time, they're not recognizing
the even Krishna's pleased even by the followers of Kama Kama. discusses this in one of our texts, and he's even pleased by the quality of the conduit because they follow his system, who seems like the Christian, who's not the church patron.
It's because they agree to follow the system he gave for this interpretation.
He says he satisfies them also.
And you'll see that throughout the wild time, the demigods often cherish Christian for something very selfish. Like recently, in 610 to it, and the demigods are praying on the Lord so they can, so he will kill the destroyer. And the prayers they offer are amazing. They're like really powerful prayers. So much so that when Lord Mani appears before him, he says, if anyone hears this prayer, they'll develop tribulation. That's how powerful their prayers were. But their desire was very big, can you feel the destroyer? And even in their prayers, they said, we know this is not a good thing to have, and we know that you know everything, and you have to ask you, we're going to ask you anyway. And the Lord Vishnu was pleased because they took shelter from him. And he reciprocated. The reciprocation he gave was not the same as Mahanakavi. It's not an intimacy relationship with him and the satisfaction of God. At night, now when Vishnu is killed, they do the next thing, the next thing, which is misery, which is a cause of continued existence and samsara. So you can say it's like a cheap mercy. There's like real mercy and cheap mercy. It's like, I like to use this example in the first chapter of Gita, where Duryodhana gets encouragement from the woman of the conscious of Vishnu. Even Jesus on my side, he feels encouraged, feels enlightened. But Vishnu was actually indicating to him that, this is a symbol of Vishnu. Vishnu's on his side, you're going to die. But he misunderstood, He thought, now I'm getting great encouragement from Vishnu, great support, that support. He thought, that wasn't the real mercy. The real mercy would have been, because Vishnu is an icon, he would have inquired from him that instruction. That's real mercy, how the Buddha would be able to take that. So one may please Krishna and thereby get various levels of reciprocation, in the form of fulfillment of desires and other such things. Even liberation, there's a verse in the sixth chapter of this canto, which describes how Krishna would very easily fulfill his desires and even get liberation. But bhakti, he will not get so easy because he becomes controlled by that. So there's different levels of pleasing to Krishna. But we understand as an attempt in our temple of purity, we understand that the real pleasure of Krishna happens to deal with activities only in the first happiness. And a level of reciprocation when it gets from that is often superciliity, which is not there in the other forms of reciprocation in Krishna and the only forms of desires. So what about that? And they invalidated committed offense to him also. They made the misunderstanding of his transcendence, and that happens all the time. How many personalities do you think of people that probably transcendental? And we keep ourselves in a good group. Our human spirit, we have a brother, we have a group, we only have, we want to place at a discussion table, there will be. That's our discussion, How many times do we have such a mentality? It's not very exactly offensive. We have respect, but we don't recognize a good position. And perhaps we make for our regards that we. But we're not going to be offensive. So then it's good. We get accordingly, which is the time.
Thank you very much for your thoughts. You mentioned at the outset that there's also some noise of nature, and in your goodness, one makes more of you put with the time of personal reputation. So, what is, because we hear of how good, the effects that. It's good,
That's another good use of that.
Yeah. Which is even, if you're against the air, 100%. So, what is the transcendental, is it that one is completely, is indifferent to his
Well, two things. One is we should elevate ourselves to the desires first. Prabhupada said the first effect of Krishna consciousness in the 14th chapter of Gita is one comes from the goodness. Is the first effect. So it's not like we should feel or start weeping and moaning down the grave distressed because I desire some purification. You know, start weaning ourselves or something. That's good. It's a good start. And the pure devotional position is that by praising Krishna, I'll be everything. That's the focus. So I'll get my self-purification also, and all the other things that are required, just by trying to satisfy Krishna. So that's the pure devotional faith, and the pure devotional mentality is like that. By serving Krishna, I'll be everything. So there would be no necessity for separate missions. No, because that would be good. But we may not be there, but everybody knows the passion for beings. Probably a lot of passion, but that's been mentioned here also. So the first effect of Krishna consciousness in the beginning is desire for self-purification. And then our faith will evolve, and that platform becomes a little bit evolves. And then the focus starts to switch to this time to be doing Krishna. And being less concerned about living without good care. Well, why get self-purification kind of things? Why get appreciation out of this? Why get the emotional support out of this? Those things have been important for us in the beginning. But as we cultivate Krishna consciousness, in the beginning, we develop strength in our prayer. And then the consciousness switches. And it's like, okay, pleasure doing Krishna. And whatever comes from that, what is tomorrow? What is tomorrow?
Is it all along the same topic? If you want to answer this idea of pleasing, acting in such a way that will please Guru Krishna. So then one must understand the desire of this person who trying to please the instruction of the Guru, which is a, you could say, desire. But then also as an individual who's there. So I'm having another difficulty understanding where one's going to be valid and going to my own desire. And how is that expressed? Just because if it's just a question of subordinating my desire to their desire, then it seems that it
all seems to exist. And all of desire that seems better is
using. And also the desire
in our sense of individuality is misconceived. So then in a way for the means of misconception. Anyway, we should have Prabhupada discussed it in the shot about oneness with Krishna. He speaks about oneness and desire. And that is a Bhagavad of oneness. Right. Even Bhakti Thakur speaks about a Sanyuja Brahmi Murti Guru Nanak worship service. And in the description of the residents of Vrindavan, he says they all attain Sanyuja Murti, which means oneness with Krishna, because their desire is so intrinsically one with Krishna that there is absolutely no difference as such. But in giving expression to that, there's individual expression. You know? That's where, so like, for example, the spiritual master says, you know, start a Christian center, probably not to you, but to someone. You know, start a Christian center. And then the individual will give expression to that desire in his own individual way, how to fulfill the word of the spiritual master. So, like, I think I remember reading a letter of this Chinese community. That one boy was asking Srila Prabhupada about every little detail, like Prabhupada told me to do something. And he was, well, Prabhupada, how do I do this? And Prabhupada, how do I do that? Like, step by step by step. Prabhupada said, figure it out. You're individual. But it's in line with the desire of being Krishna. But there's an individual expression. So you get an instruction, and then you have your own initiative, how to carry it out. And you get carried away. number of dollars they have in hand, hopefully, to keep you on track.
So it's not like you're losing yourself, but rather you're gaining yourself.
I think we got confused about where your inspiration also comes from. Krishna inspiration is a super soul manifesting some inspirations and thought like that. So you can always get it.
That was a nice thing about having supported by Chinese women to be supporting you. Like Parashar Mantra inspiration to pass together. And then you can find this inspiration with some of the other disciples. So even if you think that we're getting the divine inspiration, then you can always confirm it. The problem is with us is that as soon as it doesn't get confirmed, he doesn't understand the inspiration. He doesn't understand how Krishna signs act and some of the lives of other Vaishnava. Like that. So we don't have much faith in the Vaishnava, so much we can do. As soon as our quote unquote inspiration is going to help us. By that bear, by but it's very simple in terms of if you're thinking about that, you can always be that is an end for your having security by Chinese. Existing in the need for security by Chinese.
So, no, sorry, my question was about that is our fossil. And the inspiration is coming from Krishna.
So you think?
Okay. No, I mean, ideally, okay. It's either coming from Krishna or not, but that's not me. It's not coming from me. But then I understand the inspiration, that's like, it seems like that's the desire.
It's desire outside. Desire who?
That's my question, is where is, what is my desire? Who am I? What is, where is that? How do I understand that?
Well, in the conditioned state, your desires are all related to the material or subtle body. Right? In other words, your mind. So the inspiration is coming from Maya. That's why people who try to get out of Maya by their own inspiration remain in Maya. Because all the inspirations are coming from Maya. All the plans to get out are coming from Maya. She doesn't give you plans to get out. She gives you plans how to get more entangled. And it looks like you're going to get out, but then you end up in a worse position than before. So then, so that's our desire in conditioned state of life. And in pure state of life, there's a desire for consecration. And so as we're trying to cultivate that in conditioning, we have the merciful manifestation of Guru, and we don't have to speculate. What is your desire for me? Because one has faith that whatever the Guru said, the inspiration of Krishna is acting through him, not through me. We think like that, the inspiration of Krishna is acting through me. But actually, the inspiration of Krishna acts through the spiritual master. So when the disciple hears from the spiritual master, he thinks this is Krishna directly speaking to me, directly, you know, communicating to me what he wants from me. And therefore, what is the conclusion? We don't have a lot of clarity and stuff. But there is confusion because of lack of clarity. And again, it's not like we become non-existent and it's a individual expression. You're connected to Guru, and there's a proper connection with the internal energy of the ground block. That as you're carrying out those instructions, you, because of being connected, you may get a lot of inspiration, which is going to manifest that desire more and more. And you can see that spiritually, that's going to be properly connected. But before there's proper connection, that inspiration, you can't put so much for you. Like that.
Like I said, the question is a wrong question. What are you going to be the question? Because the premise in your question is that inspiration is something explains to the soul, which is not true. So it's not just that inspiration comes only from Maya or Krishna, the soul has an activity to do. Inspiration is from the soul. Can be from Krishna also, because you are two. Krishna can inspire the soul in a particular way. The soul can have his own inspiration as well. Then there is what is called resonance. According to the inspiration,
If it is resonant with Bahirmukha, something extraneous to Krishna, then Maya magnifies it because of Ahankara or Kausalya. And if the inspiration is pure, it is of Krishna. Krishna magnifies it. But the inspiration is effort and may come from Krishna or Mahaprabhu as a soul. So we can also have this effect so lies.
I was thinking it's something like when you say love of God. So the soul has love, but at the same time it's a unity between Krishna that is being offered against Krishna. So I was thinking something like that in inspiration. Internal energy or external energy. And it links and connects it to the internal energy of Krishna. The purity of the people is really like a bit more than that. So I was thinking about that simply in these things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very important essence. As when you get very contemplative, you can try to develop that energy, freedom of self, selfish desire, the right of selfish desire, so Krishna, secret of his cover. And I'm wondering how practically we play that out day to day, because it seems the mind is very quick to give justification. This is when that is Krishna. We go through our instructions and our guidance. But when it comes moment to moment, how can we be sure that everything we're doing or just aspiring to that stage, it's not simply for Krishna's satisfaction. When you tell it, you can understand it as much as the Lord's desire, which at our stage, so we don't have access to them. We're not in direct communication with the soul, the spirit, the master. So I guess it's what you can have for the law. I just know some of the mind can be very easy. It doesn't come out. The movements and the first kind of simplicity, then definite condition. And look for my desire for definite. And look for some of the good things in my mind, with my endeavor. Right? And then there isn't a simple thought that I definitely need. It's tempting desire also, some thought. But that's okay. Everyone's got it. Every success story has its bad. And then how do we get from that point to the next point? So then we have so many instructions that are available, we need to do it progressively. And as we're coming out with instructions, there'll be mistakes and we're not going to mistakes we go. There'll be lapses in consciousness oftentimes. Not informing this pleasure. I'm not happy, I'm not doing this from this happiness. I'm already done shifting. And sometimes there are lapses in consciousness like that. That's always unhappy. But you remain in the mode of the instructions and continue to move forward like that. And I don't know if we should, there should be, of course, be thoughtfulness about how we're progressing. But there shouldn't be we shouldn't become like pedants, like unnecessary analyzing every little detail. That's impossible. And that is also foolish because we become absorbed in the Messiah by doing that. We have so many material things going on, but by trying to pedantically analyze it, we become absorbed in the Messiah. And the moment of inspiration, we're depressed. So rather acknowledging our fallen condition, simply take a simple method of development. Chant Hare Krishna, repeat 16 hours. We have a discussion, we come by the Tatsuya, we take the Lord's Prasadam, and we try to make progress sincerely, always claiming Krishna. It's because of the nature of the discussion. Making the devotion of this chapter 5, the purity of devotional service is expressed as one who doesn't resort to further speculative endeavors. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're free of all contamination of the modes of nature to express nature. We just say devastating the spirit of some non-transcendental but then the heart of the determining how we're moving forward, what happens, what am I going to do next? Is it based on instruction? Or is it based on my support? So the third thing, it's been discussed that we should be considering the person who is practicing like that should be considered to report it as they're not applying karma in that, although they may not have applied to the perfect stage. Like, so our concern is more how many decisions in the Christian consciousness, as we explained to whether I made it.